Amen. That was worth coming out for the service. Amen. That was, praise the Lord for the specials we've already heard tonight and how God worked through that to minister to us. And then I'm looking forward. My favorite missionary family we have with us here tonight. And I might be just a little prejudiced here with them because they're homegrown. And the Lindsay family to Peru. Stephanie has been here, I think, almost since the very beginning of the church, at least since we moved over to the property right here. And so she came through all the different Sunday school classes and youth program, and what a blessing it was to see how God worked in her life to call her to the mission. And then Brother Marcos came while he was in the high school department, and I often, and I think he says this too, the reason that God brought he and his family here is so that he could meet his future wife. And God put them together, went to Bible college, and then went on deputation, and then they've been on the field of Peru. And Stephanie, won't you, and they got three beautiful daughters. Won't all three of you stand? All right, and what a blessing it is to have them here with us tonight. And then, of course, they were actually Stephanie. Now, if Marcos's parents were here, I would recognize them as well. But Stephanie's parents are here, Steve and Lola Ella. Steve, Lola, won't you stand? There's something to raise your children to serve the Lord, not knowing what God's plans are for the children. And but yet, knowing that they're in the will of God makes all the difference in the world. And even though if they're on the other side or in the South America, the other side of the planet, if they're in the will of God, they're safer than next door out of the will of God. And we just praise the Lord for families that want to raise their children for the Lord. In Sunday morning Sunday school this morning, I mentioned the message was the mission of the church is missions. And if the church is not producing soul winners, and if the church is not producing missionaries, where are they going to come from? And we will not have them. And I think that's largely what's taken place in the United States of America today, is because the churches are not producing those that have a heart to win the lost. And therefore, we're not seeing the lost reached as we once did. And if the church is not doing that, and the real church will produce a congregation that has the desire to see souls saved, has the desire to get behind missions, and are willing even to raise their children, even it means if they're going to go to the mission field, to raise their children to serve the Lord. And what a blessing it is. And so we have that example here tonight of this Lindsay family serving faithfully and have been for several years now on the mission field. And so at this point, I'm going to turn things over to our brother Marcos. Now, he said that, of course, he just has only been in the States here for just a few days or whatever, and it's difficult to switch back and forth. You know, from speaking Spanish and preaching in Spanish, this is the first time I think you're going to be preaching in English since you've been back, right, for second. So it's just, now it was just as awkward for me. I preached a revival for his church there in Peru in Huancayo, and he had to interpret for me. So I was blessed. I don't speak Spanish, so I didn't have to worry about it. He had to be the one to be able to interpret what I preached, and so that might have been difficult, but he did a good job in doing that. And so, Brother Marcos, I won't interpret for you tonight, but won't you come and preach? Right.
He stole my joke. I was going to mention. I'm colorblind, brother. Is that it? All right. It's good to be back with you guys today. All right. He said till it's green. Well, I can't tell if it's green or not. My wife makes me all the time. I'm colorblind, and I try to correct her on her dress, on her outfit. She says, "You're colorblind." We have in Peru, we have pink dolphins. I saw pink dolphins and said, "Daddy," they said, "Daddy, did someone tell you they were pink? Because you're colorblind." No, they really are pink. They told me they were pink. I had something else to say, but you stole my thunder about it. Anyway, I wanted to greet you all. Then it was a great time with Pastor down there. Thank you for sending him. Thank you for allowing him to take those trips. I know it must be tough to be that a pastor and let, you know, Jeremiah or someone like that preach to you instead of your own. Just kidding. But thank you for sitting him down with me. It was a blessing. Back in 2010, he came with me during a big problem we were having in our church. And in fact, people still today are talking about how much wisdom Pastor Ted brought down to that issue and to the people. Just things he said to calm the situation down and to make people think about Scripture, think about the Lord, think about God's church. And what a wonderful pastor we have. Amen. I know right now that several times I've called and said, "Listen, I had this need, and I know I can count on him to say, well, here's $1,000, not because he's taking advantage of you, but he's trusting that you are going to stand behind him and give. So thank you for that as well, and for your heart, and for the reception we've received since we've been here. Now, not one person has said, why are you here? Go back. And everyone says, we're glad to see you here. And so we're always glad to be back with you. We do have a church of about, I'd say 80 on an average in our church in Huancayo. We live about 10,500 feet above sea level. And as Pastor mentioned, a lot of times parents want their children to serve the Lord, but kind of, you know, close to home. So thank you also to the elders who never let me take them that far away. They say, you can serve the Lord in Peru, but come off the mountain. We can't go up there. You go up there and you struggle with breathing and everything. So now I have my own girls growing up, and they're telling me that they want to be different things, a mom, a teacher, and one might say a missionary. Well, that's great, but just be a missionary in Peru. Amen. Come back and stick around. We have the Church of 80. And beyond that, we had two mission works. One we closed down recently to better our focuses on the one in San Jeronimo, St. Jerome. We'll talk more about that city in just a moment. But it's starting to grow. We moved to a new place in that mission. We were in a person's house, a family's house. Now we have a property, I don't know how to explain it in feet, but it's about 11 meters by 7 meters. So get your calculator out there and you figure out about how big it is. It's a small area, but much bigger than we need right now for the people we have. We're hoping to fill it up, though. Amen. And Lord's given it to us for about $70 a month. So we're excited about that. It's around the main thoroughfare. Buses go by all the time to take people down to the park and then out to Huancayo, about 20 minutes from Huancayo. Now, our church in Huancayo has been established as in it was set up under another man. I came during a difficult time in their own history and was able to bring things. Pastor and I talked about it. I'm there to plant churches. I still am there to plant churches. And I didn't want to just pastor a church. I could do that in the States if I needed to without having to need the support. But Pastor and I saw there's a great need for this church to have someone to step in to save it from closing its doors. It has a couple strong families, and that was about it, and a couple young people. Well, now that church has grown again. It's giving to missions. It supports four missionaries. One missionary it supports like it were supporting two, so we could say it's supporting five missionaries. What I make from them, of course, I give it back to them, but they think they're paying me. What they give me each month could support a pastor and a wife, possibly. They're getting there. I'm trying to say that they want to support a pastor full-time. That's my goal. Before I ever step out, I want them to see fully supporting and supporting well their pastor. I'm glad to see the pastor driving the car he drives, having that because the church is giving him what he deserves. The Bible talks about that. It's not my message tonight, but I want to see the... That's his job anyway, but I'd like to see the... the pastor receive his due and the church be strong to be faithful. Pray for us, though. We've got a lot of things going on. People are people anywhere. The devil is still the devil. He works just as hard in foreign countries as he does here. I'm working on my teachers now, trying to get them the most faithful, you know. So we'd like to see the church. It goes from 80 to 99 on, what was it, May? The first week of May, whatever that was. We had 99 on our anniversary Sunday. It goes back down to 80. I leave, it goes to 100. So go figure. Anyway. My church is there without me, of course. It'll have been 3 weeks, so it'll be one more week. I'll be gone. I should be there, but I'll be in a different city. So four Sundays without their pastor, and they're doing well. I have a young man, Jesus. He's preaching. If you read my letters, you know who I'm talking about. Jesus, he's preaching for me. A couple other guys. And one of the first questions they asked about a week after I left is, when's pastor coming back? They knew when I was coming back, but they just want me to come back, which I'm glad of that. That's a good thing. So anyway... looking forward to getting back, and our desire now, I got a lot to say, I'm not going to say it all. If you afterwards, I'd be glad to spend some time with you out back, explain some things. But my goal now is to see the church get to a point and, of course, train young men and bring in a pastor and have God send his man along in his timing to set up a pastor in the church. If not the pastor, a pastor alongside of me, and then begin to plant churches, begin to look to start churches along the valley. I live in a valley about 1 million people, 500,000 in my city, and then the rest of the valley, then a small town, well, it's not... 30,000, 40,000 over here in a place called Jauja, and about an hour-long drive and not one church between the two cities. So our desire is to go right to the middle, which is where San Jeronimo is, and begin spreading the gospel from there. There's a Christian radio station in the area. I think there might be two. I know of one. And there are many churches in Huancayo, 15, two in Jauja, and I'm trying to see what we might be able to do to plant churches along that valley. We do speak Quechua, although they also have the... listen to me. No, we don't. Back up. We speak Spanish, We do have Quechua. Quechua is the Inca dialect. It's the old dialect of the Inca Indians. Many people there still speak Huanca, Quechua languages. In fact, to greet you today, I was going to say, Marcos Suti, Huancayupi, Ruashkaniku. And you're going, okay, it's enough because no interpreter, right? It's not biblical with no interpreter, so I'm going to stop. That was, hi, how are you? My name is Marcos, and we're working in Huancayo. I didn't say anything else because there's no interpreter, so we'll quit. But we do have Quechua in the area. We know a few words, a few phrases to be able to communicate with them. But almost everyone, even those that speak Quechua, also speak Spanish. Spanish is the business language of Peru, and we do just fine with the Spanish language. So when Jason comes down, we'll just get him really grounded in Spanish. So we'll see how that works. We'll talk about it later on, too. But good to be back with you guys. Looking forward to getting back to Peru, of course. And once again, it's always a privilege to stand behind someone else's pulpit that God has given to him and bring the Word of God. So once again, thank you for your faithfulness, your support. Please keep praying for us. We'd like to see our church go beyond itself, beyond its borders, and reach the valley, reach the jungle, reach all over Peru, and eventually the ends of the earth. We do support one missionary to Africa through our church family. I'm very proud of that because a lot of churches in Peru support missions to Peru, which is excellent. But I like to see it go beyond Peru as well. All right, I'm going to slow down, all right? Romans chapter 10, if you will. Romans chapter 10. Mrs. Ted is back on the third or fourth row there, and she's going to be my speedometer tonight. So if I get running, she'll just start raising her hand. Slow down. I speak quickly in Spanish. Lemon. Okay. You talk fast. Yes, thank you very much. Romans, if you will stand with me as we read this first verse together. Romans chapter 10 and verse number 1. The Bible simply says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." We'll read more in just a moment, but Paul clearly states here in the moment that his desire and prayer to God for Israel is for salvation. What is our desire for Peru? What is your desire for your own country? Like I preached a message tonight simply entitled, "My Prayer for Peru." Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for this day, for the services you gave us this morning, and once again for bringing us together in this place tonight. We pray, Lord, that you'd use me. Help me, Lord. I have a burden from you, Father. I pray that you speak through me and help me to use clarity to get. Baptized and in my Christian school, a missionary to Honduras had come to my school. I was in third grade. And he had this great big machete, and he would explain to us with all these different trinkets he had how he would go to these villages, speak Spanish, and win people to Christ. Well, I thought, what better way to spend my days, my life, than telling others about the Lord? Yeah. So I said, well, I need to be a missionary. I'm going to go to Honduras. I've never been to Honduras, but God used that to call me into the mission field. But I understood that every missionary has to speak Spanish. Every missionary has to have a machete. So I learned some Spanish. On my honeymoon, we got a machete in Puerto Rico, made in Taiwan. But I took it to Peru. I have a machete. I speak Spanish. I'm a real missionary. But even when I was, I don't know how old I was, whenever I was sent to the mission field in 2005, I went with a particular idea of how missions was going to go. You know, you knock on doors all day long, get people saved, and that's what you do. Well, there's more to it than that. And I had a desire to see people saved. But you see, what happens is when you get involved with the culture and if you get involved with the church planting, more than just winning souls, take those souls that are now saved and begin to teach them the doctrines of Christ. Just simple things about Christian walk, Bible reading, devotions, testimony. Here we go. Vida empresarial. your business life. You teach people all these things. So as I'm going through this, and I begin to get frustrated with certain things about the culture. Now, I love Peru. I really do. I love living there. We live in a beautiful valley. You hear 11,000 feet, you think cold. But we're only 12 degrees south of the equator, so it's very nice. Cool nights, beautiful days. Those that have been on the trip could tell you it's a great place to live. But when you get down to driving, it's not such a beautiful place to live. They have lines in the ground. I don't know why they paint them there. They don't listen. They don't obey them. They just have them there for reference, I guess. But don't let the green go across the line. You're going to get a ticket. But anyway, they don't follow all the rules they're supposed to. The drivers will go from a two-lane road to a five-lane road. They'll turn from the left lane to turn right and vice versa. And it's frustrating to me as an American who's used to some order in our country. I come back and I'm going, look how fast we're going. And everybody's staying in their lane. It really is incredible. There are things that frustrate me as a missionary and as an American. So I've become to really want to change about Peru, the way they drive. They have speed bumps in Huancayo. They love speed bumps. And in Peru, we call them, strut breakers. Rompemuelles, strut breakers, not speed bumps, strut breakers, because they're really big. There are 15 of them or so between my house and my church, 3 miles away. It's ridiculous. So potholes everywhere. I mean, it's just frustrating at times. And my eyes get off of wanting people to be saved, and I begin to want them to fill the potholes and take out the rompemuelles, the strut breakers, and do all these things. We stand in line for our visas. I asked you for prayer. Many of you told me that you had prayed for that. Thank you very much. For our visas, for my daughters. My visa was taken care of. I have a little carnet. It's a little green card, pretty much. My wife has one. Our stickers are up to date. We're ready to go out of the country and back in. My girls could not leave the country unless they had particular stickers. Well, to get those stickers, I have to go. Then I have to get their birth certificate, original birth certificate, apostilled by the Secretary of State. What's that? Anyway, so I learned about that. Then I get it approved, notarized, translated, legalized, and then I give it to them, and they ask me this year for another one. Another original. Do you know what original means? I already gave you. Okay. Every year, I have to give them this. It's for, Lord, if you would just change. We're sitting in the car one day with a missionary friend of mine. We're going on the road, he's driving, and we're talking back and forth about the stupidities, and I mean that in the nicest way possible, of Peru, not Peruvians, Peru, the laws, the streets, the everything. And I said, I just pray that this would change, and God brought this verse to my heart. What'd Paul say? My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel, they get these camels out of the way and make more room for... He didn't say that. He said it's for salvation. Amen. My missionary said, man, don't get spiritual on me now. But really, it broke my heart. I'm being funny about it. It really broke my heart that I would sit there and say, I pray that he change the... Really? Is that my prayer? That he change the roads? That he change the system? That he allow my kids to be easier access to Peru? Is that what I'm all about? Or am I there to see souls won? Amen. My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is for salvation. So as I began to look at this message for today, it wasn't what I was going to preach, so I don't know how it's going to come out. My notes are in pen right now, so I have no idea how it's going to work out. But God showed me that there's something much more important than all of these things. Yes, we have to deal with the culture, and I'd like to see some things changed, but I would pray that my heart's desire and prayer to God for Peru would be for salvation. In verse number 2, he begins to explain a little bit about Israel. And I'm sure this would fit with any country, but as I began to read, it was curiously eerie how similar Israel was to what Peru is. If I can today, I want to explain a little bit about Peru and to share my heart with you this evening. Verse number 2, Paul says, "For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge." They have a zeal of God. You won't. I say this. I'm very prejudiced, but I don't think you can find another country in the world that's more religious than Peru. I mean, everybody crosses themselves. I mean, sign of Christ, right? Supposedly, I know it doesn't do no good, but they think that this is what's going to help them, and they all do it. I'll get into a taxi cab in the morning, and maybe it's the first client that the taxi driver has that day, and as soon as I get in, I'll pay him. Before I get out, he will cross himself, thanking the Lord. Now, how often do we as Christians often thank the Lord publicly and expressively, that everybody knows I'm thanking the Lord right now? Or do we go to the restaurant and say, okay, I prayed. They say, I'm going to pray publicly. I don't care who sees me. I want to honor my God. We know they have a zeal for God. Not according to knowledge, they're ignorant, but we're going to get to that. They have a zeal for God. You go to Peru, you're going to see all these crosses everywhere. I was telling the group that came down to Peru from this church, and I was telling them, listen, we're driving down the road. I said, when we get to this particular spot, we're going to pull off and eat. Well, how do we know we're going to be there? Well, you're going to see Jesus. Drive off the cliff? No, Jesus is on the hillside way over there. You're going to see Jesus. When you see Jesus, we'll be there. So we begin to drive along, and sure enough, there's Jesus' outstretched arms way far away, probably a good couple miles, but up on a hill, and you can see it clearly from the road. Hilltops are lined with crosses here and there, and I begin to ask questions. Why is that so? Well, they begin to explain that, you see, when the Spaniards came down to Peru, the Inca still worshipped Inti, their sun god, and many other gods, the mountain gods, the tree gods, all the gods, but Inti, the sun, was the supreme god for them. And they began to worship also the mountains. They call them Apu, Apukuna, the mountain gods. Well, they said, and they saw these Indians worshiping the mountains. You can't do that. We worship God. Catholics, of course, with their crusades. So they went up there and put crosses and said, worship that instead. Wait a second. Well, they have a zeal for God, but it's not the right direction. They have a zeal to worship God, but they don't know how to worship Him. You know, the woman at the well wanted to worship God, just didn't understand how to worship God until Christ came along and explained, listen, lady, it's not about Jerusalem or even this mountain, but God looks for those who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. So all they lack is a little bit of education, all right? So my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is for salvation. They have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. They also have all these new gods that come along. I have a brother in my... Well, I have a family in my mission there in San Jerónimo. And the dad, his name is Max. Maximo. Well, Max has this violin. He plays very well by ear. He doesn't read music, but he plays very beautifully. But he's always played in these folklore bands. And the folklore there is very much a pagan issue. It's about worshiping Mama Pacha, the Mother Earth, and about worshiping the mountain gods and the sun, Inti Raymi, all these different celebrations about nature, but it's all worshiping nature and not the God of creation, okay? So he plays his violin, and one day his children begin to get saved. There are now five or six of them now that have been saved. He has 12 kids, so half of them are saved. Well, these kids are my age, and they're about my age, a little bit younger sometimes, but they're coming up, they're being saved, they're being changed their lives, and Maximo says, you know what, I want to do what's right, I want to do something for the Lord, so I'm still going to play my music, I'm not saved yet, right? I'm going to play my music like for the world, but I want another violin. I said, oh, I can find you one, you know, the States has violins, much better quality, better price, I'll find one. And I said, what do you want one for? He says, well, I want a violin, a special violin to play the Christian music on. And then I'll use my old violin to play my worldly music on. No, wait a second. You just use the same. Bible says, Romans chapter 7, it says, those instruments that you had that you used for unrighteousness, well, use those same instruments now for righteousness. So I'm not going to buy you a new one, and now you can have a worldly instrument and a godly, because they understand that if you just do all of these things, then you'll be saved. You know, what can I do to be saved? Well, stop playing this music. Well, I'm going to keep playing it, but I can pay, right, and keep doing what I want to do. I hope I'm making sense here. You go into the Catholic Church, and they have this idol, of course, they have these statues, supposedly St. Paul or Peter or somebody, and they have this booth, and many times, though, you can light candles there and place the candles, and the more candles you light, the more you help your loved one come out of purgatory or your own soul, depending on what you're doing. And you know, now they charge. It's actually electronic candles. They aren't really real candles, electronic lights. And a coin slot. The more money you put in, the more comes up. You know how much money goes in there? Because they're really hoping that God is watching them and that God will forgive their sins. They have a zeal for God. It's just not according to knowledge. Such is their zeal that verse number 2 says, verse 3. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. So God says, listen, I have the way. Of course, we know the way is Christ. We'll get to that. But God says, here's my way. But they don't know about that way. So they're doing all they can to bring about their own righteousness. Like I mentioned before, they'll cross themselves. They'll do all these things. In fact, they'll add a holy violin to their collection just in case, you know, it's the right one. You see, their idea is they have so many gods. They'll say one God, but they actually worship Paul and Peter and Mary and all the rest of them. One time my daughters asked, Dad, why is is Mary always so big and Jesus is always so small here? I said, that's a good question. And that's how they view it. Mary is the redemptrix. All right, I don't mean English anymore. And Jesus is just her son. All right, so you have big Mary, Jesus, all these apostles. They're all gods. If you look at the definition of Exodus chapter 20, they're all idols. They're all being worshipped. Now I say, well, Jesus too then, you know. And they have all their, and the Baptist church too. No, they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. So much so that when they try to go about establishing their own righteousness, ignorant of God's righteousness, they say, what can I do? Well, I'm going to take this and show God that I love him. I'm going to get on my hands and knees and crawl up these several hundred steps to get to this image up there on top of the hill. And they do it. Time to get there, their knees are all bloody, their hands are sore, and they say, I love the Lord. Well, that's fine, you have a zeal, but God never asked you to do that. They take these whips and begin to whip themselves till they bleed. Well, God didn't ask you to do that. I have a zeal for God, but if it's not according to knowledge, it does you no good. Now, I want to hang on to this illustration. I'm going to tell you anyway. I might have shared it last time I was here. I don't remember. There's a preacher named Aldo Vega. He's from Chile, a Chilean pastor. And he came to my church one day and gave a great illustration about salvation. I loved it. He said, this is a building, and we're all on the building, and the building, for some reason, caught fire, and now it's throughout the building. There's no way down. You can't go down the stairway. It's a tall building. You're not going to jump. I mean, we're going to die. But I always miss this word. The firemen, the bomberos, the firemen come out, and they bring this great big trampoline. It's not a trampoline. It's something like that. It's a big canvas bed, right? You hold it and say, if you jump, we'll save you. Well, those that will trust the fire, you just help me out, all right? The firemen, those that will trust them will, I don't know if I did it or not, but you got to jump and just trust that they'll save you. And if you get to the bottom and you're still alive, what will have saved you? Well, that little elastic or canvas trampoline. Not your faith. Your faith is what gets you to the trampoline. The trampoline is God's grace. God's grace saves you. Amen. Well, how do you get there? Well, by faith. Right. But the problem with Peru, and Pastor alluded to this morning, many people try to worship many different things and say, well, you're okay. It's not faith that saves you. Read James. Faith saves no one. Faith in the grace of God, well, that's different. But many people say, well, I have faith and they're actually over here. Well, don't jump over there. Well, I have a zeal. I believe in God. Watch this. And they jump and they land in the devil's hell because they're believing in the Mormon God. They're believing in the Buddhist God. They're believing in the Mary's God. All these different gods. And they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. And their faith does them no good because they aren't trusting in God's grace. I'm hoping I'm making things clear. Well, as I go to Peru, I look and see them trying to establish their own righteousness, but by doing that, verse 3, by doing that, it says, for they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, it says, they have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. They've come short. We know that all have sinned, but here it says, they're trying to do right, but it's not enough. And they fail to meet God's righteousness. Verse number 4 says, for Christ is the end of the law. Christ is the answer. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. You've heard the illustrations about the tightrope walker, you know, and the wheelbarrow, and who believes I can do this with 100 kilos, 200 pounds of bricks in here? We all believe, and he does it, you know, walks across there, turns around, comes back, and we're all applauding the tightrope walker that can do amazing things. How many of you believe I can cross this waterfall with someone alive inside my wheelbarrow? Well, I believe. Who wants to get in? The hands go down, right? Well, hop in. Well, I believe, but no, God says, trust me. Jump. Trust me. Let go and trust me. So talk to Peruvians about this. It's not about just believe in Christ and keep sinning. No, it's leave your sin. Come to Christ. Leave who you are. Forget who you are. Say, God, I can't do this alone. I need you. And there's a great word in Spanish, but it's hold on to Christ. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. When you get to verse number 5, he says, for Moses describeth the law, the righteousness which is of the law. That man, I can't read, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. The Bible says, listen, if you can fulfill the law, you'll live. Guess what? You can't. The law is faulty because the flesh is weak. The law is great. The law is not sin. We know that. But it's faulty because I can't do this because I'm human. If you could do it, great. But now we know that Israel, you've sinned. Ever told a lie? Yes, I told a lie. Sorry, you broke the law. The law is like a big chain. You break one, it's all broken. You can't just say, "Well, I didn't kill anybody, but you stole." It's just one law, and we can't do it. So God says, "You know what? Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer." I was preaching one day. A pastor came from the States, Rhode Island. He's in Florida now, but that's not the point. He came down and began to preach for me. We went to the marketplace in San Jeronimo. I just started, began the mission. I was talking to some children, some older people there, and went to the marketplace, began to preach, began to talk to people on the streets, had some tracts. Five young men passed by, four or five young men. Began to share with them simple truths about Jesus. He's the answer. And they said, "I've never heard it presented quite that way. I mean, we believe in Christ. I mean, I know he's down there, but I've never actually heard that all it takes is to me to do these steps that we'll talk about in just a moment. All I have to do is just trust in him. I believe in him, and all we do is try to do this and that. We have a do list and a do not list in our Catholic church and sometimes in our Baptist churches as well. Do this, don't do this, or you're not saved." So they said, "He actually frees us from all that." I said, "Yeah." He said, "So I can trust in Christ and not have to do all this?" "Yes. In fact, these things that you think you have to do are actually wrong and sinful. Look at Exodus and so forth." But they're just relieved to find that Christ frees them. When you come talk about Romans chapter 10, it's full of doctrine. I'm skipping a lot. It's loaded. But the point that I got out of this was that if Christ is the answer, why are they trying so hard to make themselves the answer? I have it within me to get to heaven. They don't. They think they do. Verse 6. "The righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven?" That is, he explains, to bring Christ down from above. "Or who shall descend into the deep?" That is, to bring Christ up Christ again from the dead. But you see, that's what Peruvians try to do. The religion of Peru tries to reach to heaven or reach to hell to do what they can to fix things. And God says, "It's not your job to fix things. I've already paid the price, amen? Christ already went to the cross, paid the penalty, and said, all you got to do is believe in me." Peruvians, they're religious. They have a zeal for God, but it's not according to knowledge. This message goes on from Paul explaining that there is a way out of this ignorance. There are certain steps that God wants each unbeliever to take, but then it depends ultimately on you and me. That's where I'm going to head tonight. If your heart's desire and prayer to God for your own country is for salvation, there are certain things you have to understand and do to see a change. I just read the other day about our country. Our country is getting worse and worse, and sometimes it might be selfish of me. Sometimes I'm actually glad that I'm in Peru. I love my country. I always will, but there are things that I can't do here that I can do in Peru. I can stand and preach about anything I want to preach, and nobody's going to tell on me with the cops and send me to jail for it. Yet, I understand it could change. The other day, our president congratulated the NFL, one of the companies, and a young homosexual man. What he said? He congratulated them for, and then it was quoted, "for taking an important step in our nation's journey." That's what you're going to say? Well, you know what our country needs is salvation. Every day somebody's killing somebody else. Well, what they need is salvation. It's not, I'm not getting into politics with you, but gun laws, it's about salvation. You put a gun in a saved person's hand, that's a good thing, amen? Well, you see, Peru and our country, they're just ignorant. That's why I was sent there. That's why I'm still there. I used to preach about 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It says, the love of Christ constrains me. It puts me into this vice. It constrains me. It makes me do what I do. Because you see, without the love of Christ, I wouldn't be there today. I told you a minute ago, and I was honest with you, I do love Peru. I love Peruvians. I love going there. I love speaking Spanish. Any chance I get, I'll speak Spanish. Preferiría hablar español ahora, pero no me permite el pastor. Right? Right? But you know what? It's not my love for Peru or Peruvians that keep me on the field. You see, my love wanes. My love comes and goes. My appreciation comes and goes. I love Peruvians, but when you're sitting on a tram or a bus or a little van about armpit level from some Peruvian who hasn't taken a bath in a couple weeks, my love for Peruvians isn't quite so strong. But you see, it's Christ's love that constrains us. Christ's love puts us there. Why? To simply share what Paul's sharing. Listen, you got a zeal for God, but you're going to jump off the wrong area. The God's grace is over there. This is salvation. If you just trust in Christ, He will save you. So I began to rethink the way I witness. I changed the way I witness. My questions have changed. I don't say, hey, you go to church anywhere? Because I don't care if they go to church anywhere. You go to Baptist church, that's great. See you later. No, because they go to Baptist church and be unsaved. So I say, hey, if you ever told a lie? You ever sinned? Sure, I've sinned. Well, me too. I'll say, I've sinned too. In fact, I might tell myself in a minute, but I've sinned. Well, that's fine and all, but you know, there's a payment for that sin. And you can pay it for yourself. The Bible says the payment of sin is death. You can die and, you know, God's content. Or you can let Christ pay it for you. And I changed the way because of what Paul says here. I'd like to see your life fixed, or your wife back together with you, your kids obedient. I want all that, but you know what's really lacking in your life is salvation. I'll use anything I can use to get them saved, but I want them to get saved. I have a little piece of, I have a little money carrier that I wear on my belt because it changes, there's a lot of change in Peru. Anyway, I'll keep it there for the bus tickets and so forth. Well, I have a fake 5 sole coin in my pocket on purpose. I keep it there. I don't spend it. I'm not going to pass it off as real. It's fake. It looks real. I mean, it's to me, it's identical. I mean, it looks, but I know it's fake. Well, I'll go around and say, listen, is this real? They'll say, no, that's not real. I mean, you haven't touched it. How do you know it's real? Well, I just know it's not real. Well, how can you tell? He says, well, first of all, the color. Well, how do you know? Well, the color, and then this isn't quite straight over here, and this is different. I said, well, it looks the same to me. He says, well, here, let me show you a real one. You have a real one? That's cheating. If you have the real one, recognizing the fake one is going to be easy, right? That's why I'm a Baptist today. I have the real one. I don't have to go, it looks, I mean, Mormonism, you know, God came down and you got Jesus and Lucifer were brothers, you know, and you got, it sounds interesting, but I have the real thing. And when you look at the real thing so long, you pass through your hands a fake one, it's obviously fake. Peru is itchy, like the Bible says, they're going to be for learning. They want to learn a new thing. But if they have the real one in front of them, they're not going to want that fake thing. So my job is simply to share what I've learned from the Bible is truth. Amen. I'm going off my message, but it doesn't matter. I'm having fun. I have notes here I don't even understand, so let's go on to verse number 8. Verse number 8 says, but what saith it? If we can't do all things, verse number 6 and verse 7, if we can't go down to hell, if we can't go up to heaven, how are we saved? It says in verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Simply that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's as simple as that. It says in verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. My daughter Caitlin was 4 years old. We got to Peru. My other two were 2 and 1, something, I don't know. They were a little bitty. Caitlin's 4, we're in a taxi cab, and she had seen this painting of Jesus Christ, supposedly on the cross, but his head and colors and everything was a little different than the other one that she had seen. It looked like a different Jesus. So she said, Dad, how many times did Jesus die? I said, well, just once. She says, why? Come on. You ask me. I got the answer to that, preacher. Why did Jesus die? I said, all right, I'm going to start with the lamb. You know how the Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And how God took these lambs and made them. But all I said was, well, the Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And she begins to cry. And she's climbing on my lap. You know, like she's going to die right now. And she's climbing on my lap. I said, what's the matter with you? She says, I'm just a terrible sinner. I said, praise the Lord. 4 years old. I don't know what you've done, but... I'm a terrible sinner. And what I said was, well, tell it to Jesus. Just tell it to Jesus. She said, I want to, I just don't know the rest. And that's what Peru is saying today. They want to do what's right. They're not to reject. Okay, I'll be careful with this. They're not saying no to Christ. They don't know. They have been told that Mary is the way, that Jesus is the Savior, He is God, but she's the mother of God, and more so God than He. And doesn't make any sense to us. We're Baptists, we have the truth. But this is their my line of thinking. So they're saying, I want to know, I just don't know. So when she said to me, I do, I want to tell Jesus, I just don't know how to do it, or I don't understand everything, but I'm afraid that if I were to die today, I would die. I would not go to heaven. So I took my daughter's story and said, all right, let's think of Peru as a little child, because we're all little children. And the Bible even says, if you don't become like a little child in faith, you can't be saved. So I began to speak to them as children. You ever sinned? Come on, preacher, you ever sinned? You ever sinned? Well, yeah, Pastor, I've sinned. You know that sin has a price. Same thing over and over again. I'll get into a taxi. I'll say, is this taxi rented or is it your own taxi? A lot of them rent their taxis, pay the guy, and keep the extra money. A lot of times it's their own taxi, and you can tell because they can't take care of it. A couple years ago, Pastor had a rental car, and I was driving, and I'm used to a hired truck, and I ran over what I thought was a little rock, and it was a bigger rock, and it smacked around, and bam, 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 bam. Ooh, that hurt. He goes, it's a rental. But when it's your own vehicle, you take care of it, you polish it, you clean it, you oil it, you do all these things. So I get in the car, it's real nice, and say, hey, this is your own car? Yeah, I can tell. And often they'll say, well, how can you tell? I said, well, when it's your own, you appreciate it more, and you take care of it because it costs you something. I said, hey, how about your faith? He said, excuse me, how about your faith? Is your faith rented or is it your own? What do you mean? I said, well, I mean, your parents had faith, and are you just kind of taking what they believe is truth, or do you really own this faith in Jesus Christ or in worship of Mary or all these things? And they'll say, I haven't thought about it like that before. But I guess it'd be rented, because a lot of them will say, I'm a Catholic, but I don't believe in that saint worship stuff. You're not a Catholic. So they have this zeal, they have this taste, they have this hunger for God. They just don't know where to go to find it. I knock on the door with a white shirt and tie. I'm a Mormon. I'm not really. They think I'm a Mormon. Especially if I walk around with Jesus. You got a big gringo and a short Peruvian walking together, ties, a couple of Mormons. So I knock on the door. No, thank you. No, no, I have the truth. I'm not here to bring religion to Peru. You don't need more religion. I want you to know Christ. So my whole thought process has changed a lot since I've been there, and also in this past year. My heart's desire and prayer to God for Peru is for salvation. Paul says here in verse number 11, the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew, the Greek, the Peruvian, the gringo, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Amen. For whosoever, what an easy verse to say, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. It's that simple. The problem is, verse 14, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? The Bible says in verse number 17, faith comes by hearing. Let's back up a second. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved. Okay? Salvation is by grace. Grace, the Bible says, comes by faith. Faith, it says here, comes by hearing. Hearing comes by the Word of God. But guess what? The Word of God comes by the preacher. How should they believe in him in whom they have not heard, and how should they hear without a preacher? And you keep reading and you find yourself in that verse. I'm the missionary of the church. Look what it says. Verse number 15. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. How beautiful it was to me. I remember the person. Well, I don't know exactly who it was that led me to Christ, but I remember bowing my head with a particular young lady. She was older for me, but it was a young lady in my young class that I was in. I remember that and how wonderful I thought she was. She won me to Christ. My Peruvian brethren now at my mission in San Jerónimo, for Father's Day last year, 2 years ago, they bought me an outfit. They bought me a pair of pants and a shirt. They bought me a Peruvian pair of pants and a Peruvian shirt. I didn't fit in it very well, but I was very grateful for it. They loved me. You're our father in the faith. And I hadn't taught them that, but they said, you're our father in the faith. You see, when someone brings you the truth, opens your eyes, and you're no longer with zeal, with ignorance, but you're actually loving the God that saved you, created you, and now has saved you, and they have an appreciation for Marcos Lindsay. And it kind of gets sometimes where I'm like, quit talking about me, but they'll go to some, just time to preach, all right? I'm just so glad that Pastor Marcos, and I'm glad to hear it once in a while, but they keep saying it, every like, hey, talk about the Lord, not about me. But they appreciate whoever it is that came and told them, Jesus is the answer. Amen. So I couldn't do that if someone hadn't sent me, because I don't have the money to go. I don't have the money to just get on a plane right now and, you know, go. Well, actually, I do. I already have a ticket, in fact, for Friday after Friday morning. But it's because of this church and others like you that I can do this. Thank you. Because I'm hoping that you get my heart for Peru. I'm hoping that this church is more than just we support missions. It's something we've always done. And here's the money. But that we want to see souls saved, because I can't go. You can't go yourself. If you can, what are you doing here? Come with me. Amen, preacher. But if you can't go yourself, you're saying, here's what I can do. Because how can I preach? How can I go if I'm not sent? How beautiful are... I got some beautiful feet. They stink. I'm not going to show them to you right now, but I got some beautiful feet. For somebody, they're beautiful. Because someone in this church said, I'm going to support that man. I'm going to support the church. The church has a program. I understand that. We're going to give to missions to be able to send people all over the world to preach the gospel. Because people need to know the truth. Christ is the answer. Let me finish with verse 18. Faith by hearing, hearing by the word of God. It says, but I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily. Their sound went out, went into all the earth, and their words into the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? Haven't they heard? Well, actually, yes, they have. They might have forgotten, but they have heard. There are stories back, I'm not going to tell you all the stories, I don't have time, but there are stories back from the Inca days where they actually heard about the real, true God. In fact, one of the emperors began to worship that one true God instead of the sun, because he realized that he was wrong. They have, in their own legends, they have stories about these things. They knew about Christ, but someone decided not to share. Have they not heard? Well, yes, but they won't believe. So all we have to do is share. Our job is not to soul win, but to soul warn, as the preacher took it, put it. Just warn souls. Live a life that's pleasing to God. I won't tell you my story now. I don't think it'll fit. But there's certain things I can tell you about myself. Things that I've done that I think when I go get so frustrated with Peruvian system, afterwards look back and say, was that a good testimony? I don't flip anybody off. I don't cuss anybody out, okay? But certain things that kind of leave a bad taste in someone else's mouth, possibly. And then I'm trying to witness to them. You know what? They cut me off. You know what? Who cares? I want them to be saved. You know what? They make me go around all these loops to stay in Peru. You know what? I want them to be saved. What's your heart's desire? What's your prayer to God? That you can have a bigger house, that you can have this. And bigger houses aren't bad, but God says, look around. The only thing that Christ ever asked us to pray for, he did give us several examples in his own prayer about daily bread and so forth, but he commanded us to pray to God that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. I need help. I need help. Because my heart's desire for Peru is for salvation. And please pray with me and for me that I will do all I can do that to bring glory to Christ and to bring his word to Spanish-speaking ears so they can understand that their zeal is great, but it's misplaced. And that through my family, my girls being brought up, people always ask questions about my girls' dress, about how they're so obedient, respectful, and proper. It opens all the doors. That we might be used as a lighthouse in Peru and say, there's Christ. Follow him. I'm going to ask preacher to come and close as you see fit, brother, but thank you for the time and the chance to share my heart with you guys. And thank you for your part in my ministry, that I can be able to be sent by this church to preach the gospel in Peru. Thanks a lot. Thank you, preacher.
Let's go ahead and bow our heads and close our eyes. And just think about what God has revealed to us through the preaching of His Word tonight. Possibly even ask ourselves, what is my desire when it comes to winning the lost, seeing souls saved, making sure my family is prepared for eternity, making sure my coworkers, my neighbors, my friends. Most important thing that anyone will ever do in this life is receive Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Because that paves the way for eternal life. If you're not saved tonight, you'll have an opportunity right now to come to this altar and let somebody take a Bible and share with you what God says you must do to be saved. If you are saved tonight, maybe we just need to recommit ourselves to see others receive Christ as their Savior. Father, we love you and thank you, Lord God, for just meeting with us tonight, for the message that we heard, and how you've pricked our hearts concerning having desire to see souls saved. I pray, God, that you would work now in the midst and each and every one, that you would reveal to them the things that you would have them to act upon tonight, that there's those that are lost, that they'd get saved tonight, those that just need to recommit to whatever, that they would be willing to do that. Just work in our midst and bless in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.